The world's largest bank, with $48.8 trillion of assets under management, might have just gotten the green light from the SEC to custody Bitcoin. And today we're going to be discussing why this is the final pillar in Michael Saylor's three things that he believes Bitcoin needs to hit $5 million a coin. So this is the news. We're going to be talking about the news a little bit later. I want to first play you this clip to remind you what Michael Saylor believes Bitcoin needs for it to go to $5 million a coin.
Regardless of why they fix these things. But there are three things that are massive catalysts that cause an acceleration. And I don't think that those three things don't take us to 500,000. They take us to 5 million a coin, right? Those three things are a spot ETF where someone can go ahead and buy $100 million of Bitcoin, buy a security, an ETF security. I think that's one. Two is your bank is going to custody it for you and lend against it. And three is I can mark it up or mark it down on my balance sheet based on fair value. Pari passu, it'll be pari passu to the way I'd handle Apple stock, or at least that good. If you have property with fair value accounting, by the way, it becomes pari passu to the way you'd handle treasury bonds on a treasury balance sheet. Treasuries are better than stocks because treasury is property, whereas a stock is a security, and you're capped out at 40% of your balance sheet as security. So
there you have it. Michael Saylor has talked about the three things necessary for Bitcoin to hit $5 million. We've talked about them a lot on this channel. Number one being a spot Bitcoin ETF. We have it. They launched in January 2024. Second thing needed that would send Bitcoin to $5 million a coin, FASB, fair value accounting. Guess what? We have it. Now the third pillar is banks custodying Bitcoin. Not only do we have banks custodying Bitcoin, we might have the world's largest bank in the world with $48 trillion of assets under custody right now, getting the approval to custody Bitcoin. Let's have a look at the news. We've given you a little bit of context. BNY Mellon now is potentially cleared to provide institutional custody of digital assets. So this is new. This literally came out about an hour ago on Twitter, and absolutely everybody has been talking about it. BNY Mellon identified as the first bank to receive SEC exemption from SAB 121. We're not going to dive into the weeds of what all of this means. The high level of this, the very simplified breakdown, is that this is essentially an SEC approval to custody Bitcoin. That's what it's looking like right now. And now this is massive because BNY Mellon is an enormous bank, okay? I wasn't mucking around with those numbers that I threw on the thumbnail of today's video. We can see very clearly BNY Mellon has $2 trillion of assets under management, and they've got up $48.8 trillion of assets under custody. There we go. There's my little highlight. I thought I lost it there for a minute on you guys. As of June 2024. So this is new data. This is up-to-date data. This is straight from Wikipedia. This is the source. So I don't know how you can cut this cookie other than this being incredibly bullish for Bitcoin. But what if I told you guys that this isn't the only enormous bank that has come out and is beginning to, you know, let's say posture or position themselves to welcome Bitcoin and adopt Bitcoin? Because you guys know there is a serious arms race going on in the Bitcoin space today. I believe it's happening all around the world. This isn't just America getting into Bitcoin in a big way. This isn't just BNY Mellon or, you know, I mean, Goldman Sachs getting into Bitcoin. These are some seriously big banks who are all getting into Bitcoin from all around the world. I don't know if you guys saw it or not, but there was a $500 billion German bank who is also getting into Bitcoin. If I were to pull that up for you guys so you can see what I'm talking about, things are getting, let's say, interesting when it comes to global adoption of Bitcoin. Okay, this is interesting. We have German banks getting into Bitcoin. We have the largest bank in the world now getting exempt from SAB 121. We have Bitcoiners all around the world beginning to realize just how important all of these moves are for Bitcoin. And as Bitcoin Archive says in this tweet here, Michael Saylor has three catalysts that he believes will send Bitcoin to $5 million per coin. Spot Bitcoin ETF approval, fair value accounting, and now we have the third. Banks custodying and lending against Bitcoin as collateral. Coming soon. That is, of course, breaking down the most recent news about BNY Mellon. Okay, this is enormous. This is just, I think this is Bitcoin taking its natural path towards it becoming the next, you know, digital gold will be the next step, obviously, but there's going to be a lot more, okay? Bitcoin's going to become a lot more than just digital gold, okay? And we can see it's not just BNY Mellon noticing this. We can see Germany's $500 billion Commerzbank to offer Bitcoin trading to its 11.6 million retail customers. This was posted by Simply Bitcoin yesterday on the 19th, literally a day before BNY Mellon is looking as if it is going to be approved to be exempt from that SA1B accounting rule and, you know, allow them to offer, you know, Bitcoin trading to its clients. So the entire world is slowly beginning to realize that Bitcoin is the end game. Bitcoin is the solution to the fiat crisis we're living through today, okay? The fiat crisis is only accelerating. The money printer is only going to have to be turned on at an ever-increasing pace. We were yesterday looking at the chart of Bitcoin. We don't look at charts very often here on the channel. We certainly don't draw lines on charts and tell you guys we know where the price of Bitcoin is going in the short term because nobody does, okay? But let's have a look at this chart. We can see Bitcoin is right now looking like it's breaking out. It's looking like, maybe just maybe, it's touching $63,000. Its highest level in a month. And maybe just maybe this consolidation range is going to end soon. Maybe just maybe all of this very interesting news announcements coming out this week is just kind of timed, so to say. I don't know if you guys know this or not, but Bitcoin always performs really well in Q4 every year. There is a little bit of seasonality when it comes to Bitcoin. And typically September is one of Bitcoin's worst months. If you don't believe me, I'm going to show you what I got here. I found a little bit of a chart that really highlights what's going on. And I really don't think it's a coincidence that the world's largest bank is potentially being cleared by the SEC to adopt Bitcoin now on September 20th, 10 days before October. So this here is a chart, 10 years of data, showing you Bitcoin monthly returns. We can see over here in October, Bitcoin typically performs incredibly well. Look at those green months. We've only had two red months in October over the past 10 years. Incredible. Okay, what's even more incredible is if you see a green September, you always see a green October. Here's another chart. We can see whenever you see a green September, you see a green October. And that's incredibly bullish. You know what's actually even more funky about this chart? Every single time you've seen a green September, you've seen a green October, November, and December. Are we about to close green for the month of September? Maybe, just maybe. The price of Bitcoin is looking pretty bullish right now. If we were to slap this puppy, this chart here, on monthly candles for you guys to have a look, we can see right now September is green. Are we about to enter the next leg of the Bitcoin bull market? I personally think so. I've been saying this for a pretty long time now. Bitcoin is very, 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 let's just say, seasonal. It's very slow in the middle parts of the year. And as Zoot Zoot says, Bitcoin is still incredibly cheap. I would remind you guys, stay away from yield. Yield is not a good thing. Yield is an incredibly bad thing. Just self-custody your Bitcoin. Let's not go and chase yield. I don't think we need yield. I think it's as simple as that. even though the big banks are adopting Bitcoin. A lot of people are saying, hey, it's pretty interesting for Michael Saylor to all of a sudden talk about risk-free yield. That's what he talked about in his recent interview with Saferdeen earlier in the week. We talked about that in a previous live stream. But a lot of people are saying that's a little bit of a flip from Saylor. Why now? Why is he all of a sudden saying JP Morgan is risk-free? Holding your Bitcoin at JP Morgan and getting a 5% yield is the future. And it's technically risk-free. This is what Saylor was saying in this recent interview. Stirred up a little bit of buzz on Twitter. And now we have the biggest bank in America in the world coming out and potentially being cleared to custody Bitcoin today, only 4 days after that interview. Again, I think Zoot Suit in the chat here could potentially be connecting some dots. You guys let me know whether we're connecting dots or not. You can let us know in the live chat with Elaine. It looks as if she's in Rumble. I'm so glad you're live on Rumble. Good to see you, Elaine. Shout out to everybody watching on Rumble. We are producing more and more content over on Rumble. Again, if you're one of the 381 of you guys on Twitter, make sure you're following us on Rumble and YouTube. We're posting exclusive content to both of those platforms. So again, if you're just watching on Twitter, you're not going to see that content. We can't live stream or, you know, post full pre-edited videos to Twitter. Simply can't make it happen. Okay. As John says, we can go up now. The big banks are into Bitcoin. The big banks have been accumulating Bitcoin. If you have a look at the data, we can see very clearly that the Bitcoin ETFs just continue slowly buying Bitcoin. Not going to lie, they've slowed down a little bit. But the flows continue, okay? And when the flows from the ETF aren't continuing, Michael Saylor picks up the slack at MicroStrategy. We're going to talk about Michael Saylor in a moment, but have a look at the Bitcoin ETF flows for yesterday. 2,500 Bitcoin were bought. What's significant about that number? 2,500 Bitcoin. That's five times the amount of Bitcoin that's mined every single day. We only have 450 Bitcoin mined on average per day. It's a pretty big buy. 5,000 Bitcoin bought by the Bitcoin ETFs. We haven't even talked about the GigaChad. The GigaChad is also, right now, hand over fist, buying Bitcoin. He's bought about $2 billion of Bitcoin in the past, you know, week. We can see here, I popped this tweet out this morning. And I said, this is pretty interesting. There's some crazy statistics about Michael Saylor's most recent $1.1 billion Bitcoin buy. It was enormous. One of the reasons being because he purchased 18,000 Bitcoin. That's actually 40x the amount of Bitcoin that is mined in a single day. So in one day last week, Michael Saylor bought 40 days worth of Bitcoin supply that is mined. We know that coins have been flowing out of the exchange for the past 4 years now. So if coins are leaving the exchanges, and if Michael Saylor just bought 40 times the daily issuance of Bitcoin that the miners find and distribute to the network, where is the new supply going to come from? Please, can somebody answer me that riddle? Because the way I'm looking at it, the quiet Bitcoin supply shock just continues to accelerate. We can see here, 370,000 Bitcoin have been taken off the exchanges since January alone. It's about 15% of all of the supply on exchanges gone since January alone when the ETFs launched. I don't know how to cut this cookie for you guys now. But as one of the Rumble viewers puts it, riddle me this, Batman. Where's the supply going to come from? It's an unsolvable riddle. Bitcoin supply is slowly shrinking. Again, I want to be very clear. Just because coins are leaving exchanges over the past 4 years, I'm not saying, and I have never said, that this has any short-term impact on price. Okay? I think we're going to find out what the real price of Bitcoin is when that exchange balance hits zero. That's when we find out who is swimming naked. That's when we find out whether Coinbase and BlackRock are playing paper Bitcoin games. When there's zero Bitcoin in exchanges, we're going to find out very quickly what the real price of Bitcoin is. The only reason I track this data so clearly is because the trend continues. And if this trend that began in 2020 accelerates, we're going to have no Bitcoin on exchanges by 2028. Okay. I think that's when we're going to begin to see some signal. That's when we might begin to learn some truth. Okay. In the short term, I don't think this matters. I think probabilistically, though, just simply having less supply on exchanges could potentially change the bull market. And we haven't seen a bull market where Bitcoin's really been let fly with a decreasing amount of Bitcoin on exchanges. Let's remember that late 2020, early 2021 bull market that we saw, where Bitcoin pumped from 10K to 60K in about 90 days or so at the end of 2020. Bitcoin was being attacked at the time. China banned Bitcoin mining in early 2021. I don't think that was a real bull market. That was a, as we call in Australia, I better not say that. We'll call it a piss poor bull market. That's what I'm calling it. I don't think it was a real full-fledged Bitcoin bull market. And there's lots of data points backing that up, not just my opinion. Okay. It's not just a, okay. Not just an opinion. Okay. We can see that from Google Trends. With Google Trends, what we saw in 2020 and 2021, like it was peanuts compared to what we saw in 2017. You guys know I always like to show you the data and show you what is actually what I'm talking about. I think pictures can always paint 1,000 words. That's what I think anyway. So I'm going to paint you guys a picture. If I show you the search terms for Bitcoin, if we compare this to between 2017 and 2024, you're going to be able to see what I'm talking about. This is interesting. I've never seen data like this before. This actually shows that the peak in 2021 was actually bigger than 2017. That's interesting. I've never seen that. Strange. Ah, maybe that's because I'm in Colombia. Okay, so Colombia had a real bull market in 2021. Let's have a look worldwide though. Okay, so that's the worldwide index for Google search terms. Bitcoin hit a euphoria of 61, which is not really a euphoria, considering we hit 100 in 2017, a max euphoria. Everybody was talking about Bitcoin. Every Uber driver was talking about Bitcoin. Every taxi driver was talking about Bitcoin. Mike says there will always be Bitcoin on exchanges. I disagree. I don't think so. There's going to be a day in the future where I believe the only Bitcoin on exchanges will be reserved for the big boys. They'll be reserved for Tim Cook at Apple or Bill Gates at Microsoft. They've got $200 billion of melting fiat on their balance sheet. And if they need an allocation of Bitcoin, I think the Bitcoin will be reserved for them, sadly, on exchanges. That's why I always tell you guys to prepare ahead of time. That's why I always encourage you guys to go and get a hardware wallet now, ahead of time. Go get a Bitcoin-only hardware wallet. You can get a BitBox like this. You can get a cold card. And make sure when you buy your hardware wallets, you actually back up your Bitcoin safely and correctly. Again, I always tell you guys, everybody, not everybody, let's say 99% of people watching this, make a pivotal mistake when they buy their hardware wallet. They back up their Bitcoin private keys on this paper. Okay, paper is a shitcoin. I hope I could swear on YouTube. Paper really is a shitcoin, guys. Okay, this stuff's going to burn. This stuff's going to rip. This stuff is going to, let's say, disintegrate in water if you have a flood, okay? Always encourage you guys, go and put your Bitcoin, your generational wealth, on a generational wealth storage solution like Titanium, okay? You guys can get 15% off anything you want to buy from Stampseed with that promo code that is going to be linked in the live chat, okay? Again, I always show you guys, Stampseed produces some incredible products that is fireproof, lifeproof. This is the kind of stuff you want to store your generational wealth on. A generational wealth storage solution. Speaking about generational wealth, I'm going to be careful what I say in the comments here. I think it's pretty simple, guys. The billionaires are, as John Casey says, Creasy, sorry, John, Michael Dell is licking his chops. I encourage you guys, please don't chase yield. Thank you, Zoot Suit, for bringing that topic up. Do not chase yield. Just go out there. As my friend Sean from Australia says, buy Bitcoin, stack Bitcoin, and chill. Buy, stack, and chill, baby. I think that's a good note to end today's live stream. I'm going to keep it super short, super sweet. Yesterday, we were live for 50 minutes. It was a long live stream. I'm still recovering from that. So I'm going to end this one. I like to bring you guys the news in short and sweet little